Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out. Uncertainty. Self-doubt. Stressing about not knowing where to start. In. Plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out. Word art. Sorry, live, laugh, lovers. In. Knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
This season, a new hot deal has arrived at Metro. $25 a line for 4 lines with all the data you need and 4 free Samsung Galaxy A15 5G phones. Getting Metro's best deals is easy. No ID required, no activation fees. Get a new number or keep your own. It's up to you. That's 4 lines for $25 a line plus 4 free phones. Visit a store or go online today. Only at Metro by T-Mobile.
When you join Metro Plus tax, for a limited time and subject to change. Max 1 offer per account.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We are off and rolling. Thursday, April 17, 2025 is the date. Welcome into the Gabe Kuhn Show. I am your host, former Memphis Tiger, Gabe Kuhn on XEdge underscore Kuhn 71. I'm alongside the executive producer of the show. That would be Connor Dunning. We missed him yesterday, but we welcome him back to the show at C Dunning. 929 on X. Connor, how's it going, brother?
What's up, man?
We have some pretty important things to talk about off the top of the show today.
Like Hamp Line trivia at 7 p.m. tonight?
Okay, there is that. That's
general knowledge trivia?
That's important for
is it? That's important?
Yes.
Yes. Come drown your P.J. Haggerty sorrows with me at Hamp Line.
And I guess Dane Danger on a smaller note.
I just sent this to you, actually. Dane Danger just tweeted out, not going anywhere, no decisions have been made. That's 4 minutes ago.
Okay. Well, interesting that it was put out by On3 and all the reputable sources.
It was.
Well, I guess we'll get to that. But more important thing, P.J. Haggerty has officially entered the transfer portal. We almost got to April 22nd, the day the portal closed. 5 days away, and P.J. Haggerty has entered the portal with a do not contact tag. More on that in just a moment. Let me lay out the show for you, though, because we have 3 hours to talk on the way, courtesy 92.9 FM, ESPN, and yours truly. We're going to talk about P.J. Haggerty. We'll bring on Parth Upadhyay, the Tiger beat reporter for the Daily Memphian at 4:30 to talk about it. Good timing there. And you know what we're going to discuss? How are they going to rebuild this roster? How much harder is it to be Memphis in this day and age? Because I think it's increasingly becoming more difficult for Penny Hardaway and company. 5 o'clock, Jeff Calkins will join. He is a columnist at the Daily Memphian and from the Jeff Calkins Show. And then 6 o'clock per normal on a Thursday, Kyron Samuels from Sports Illustrated talks some college football and some NFL. Blitz at 6:30. That's the show for you. P.J. Haggerty is officially in the transfer portal, and he has entered with a do-not-contact tag. He averaged 21 points per game, around 6 rebounds per game, and 4 assists per game last year for the Tigers. It's an absolute shot to the heart. If you were hoping that this team would be able to stack good seasons on top of each other, they still can do that, but there's going to be a lot of work that needs to be done in the transfer portal by Penny and the staff. He did enter with a do not contact tag. So for those that are not familiar with a do not contact tag, that means no one can reach out to him without crossing the NCAA's transfer portal rules. And also what it means is that he is probably already decided where he's going to go. Where is that? We don't know. We'll find out in the coming days. But the truth of the matter is he had offers north of $3 million, multiple right at that number. Memphis was never going to be able to match that. Just not the realistic way that they have to go about these things these days. While some of the Power Four schools with deep pockets and revenue sharing on the way can offer him upwards of $3 or $4 million. Memphis, like I have said through this entire process, could have probably offered him around $2 million and a hug, saying we love you and we want you to stay. And in this day and age, we know that money rules all. So it's not surprising that PJ Haggerty is gone. And I think the frustrating part about the entirety of this story is it was through no fault of Memphis as an institution. It was through no fault of Penny Hardaway as a coach. It was through no fault of anyone involved in the recruiting process, the retaining process. You just don't have the same resources as other schools do around the country. And that will continue to grow. That divide will continue to be exponentially widened. It is frustrating when you think about it in those terms. But that is the reality we live in. PJ Haggerty now in the portal, Tigers are going to have to find a way, probably with several guys, to replace that production.
It's a gut punch for sure. PJ Haggerty was somebody that you hope was going to be a part of this program moving forward because it's the success that you had last year. And I think that David Cobb, who was on with Jeffrey today, had a couple of really, really good points when they were talking about PJ Haggerty right as the news broke at around 3 o'clock. Recently, I think that some of the activity that we have seen in the transfer portal, or the lack of activity we've seen in the transfer portal, like with the Purdue guard, might be one of the reasons we're seeing PJ Haggerty go in today, because you just have these schools that were waiting to jump at some of these players. And when those players don't go into the portal, they're saying, okay, what are our options going to be now? And PJ Haggerty probably recognized that there is going to be even more of a market for him now than there was going to be previously. He was already going to garner millions of dollars. But now, when some of these bigger schools have a little bit more desperation tied to them, the PJ Haggerty market has exploded. I mean, when he went into the portal, he probably immediately became the best player in the transfer portal. And that's why it really stinks, because you want Memphis to be able to pay for a player like this, but at the same time, you have to recognize you can't give too much money to one player to sacrifice the rest of your team, to sacrifice the rest of the depth that you may have, to sacrifice other sports that may need that money too. And that is the tough position that the University of Memphis is in right now, and that is why I have been pleasantly surprised to see that people haven't really been necessarily blaming Penny or the University of Memphis for this. This is just business. Sometimes it's just business and it's not personal, and that's exactly what happened here.
Now, what you will see a lot of in the coming days, conversation-wise, and I actually heard a pretty level-headed conversation about this on Jeffrey Wright and Company when Jason Smith joined the show, what you'll see is the pitting of football and basketball against each other. Who should get the money? Who shouldn't? I have stood on one side of this conversation for a long, long time. Obviously, basketball needs to get earmarked dollars so they can recruit the best talent. But at the same time, when it comes to ultimately lifting up your viability, getting to where you want to go, football needs the investment that they're getting right now. When we look historically, football never got that investment. That's one of the big reasons they got left behind. And schools like Louisville, Cincinnati, Houston, all these schools are now in power conferences. Memphis has finally started that investment. It is actually paying off in the grand scheme of things. I understand Ryan Silverfield hasn't won a conference championship, and you may have some problems with that in regards to how much money they're putting through that program. But at the same time, I just look at the entirety of that conversation. It feels like football needs to be put out there and invested in heavily if you ultimately want to get to the promised land. It's just a different calculus, different math that you have to operate and you know, operate with these days when you're at the University of Memphis. A guy like PJ Haggerty garnering $3 million, that's about half, maybe, you know, a third to a half of your potential budget. And when he's got offers north of that for less budgetary concerns, they can surround him with better players at different places around the country. It's just a completely different thing. This has been a program that has garnered a lot of interest from the top talent in the country. You look back at Jalen Duren, Precious Achiuwa, Kendrick Davis, PJ Haggerty. I'm not saying that those days are gone. I'm not saying that by any stretch of the imagination. But the truth of the matter is, unless there's an influx of money, unless there's further investment in this program going forward, you're going to lose out on those names that you've gotten in the past. And this is a good example of that.
Yeah, and that's why it's just a gut punch. There's no really other way to describe it, because it does seem like Memphis did everything they could to bring him back, but at some point there is a certain number that they can't cross. And to your point, you have to make sure that football is invested in, and I don't like pitting the football and basketball program up against each other, because it doesn't necessarily need to be that, but I do think that you have to recognize that the main problem that the University of Memphis is facing right now is the conference that they are in. It is one of the main issues that they have. And as much as we love basketball in this city, basketball is not going to get you to a different conference. Football will. Football is how you'll get to another conference. So you have to make sure that you're also investing in football. That has to be a priority for the University of Memphis. And it comes to, and this is kind of the result of that, is that sometimes you're not going to be able to pay a player $2 or $3 million, even though they may deserve it or earn that amount of money. You just can't necessarily do that because it's going to kneecap some of the other programs that you have, or it's going to kneecap the rest of your roster. And that's why it just, I guarantee it was a tough decision by Memphis. It had to be a tough decision by PJ Haggerty. Him going in with a no contact certainly shows me, at least, that he probably has one school that he's thinking about that probably contacted him. So he knows he's going to go get a bag. And I wish him the best, but man, I wish he was going to be in a Memphis Tigers uniform.
This changes the outlook on next season. I guess if I'm going to throw a spin zone out there, now you have probably a fair amount of your budget that you can spend on multiple players. Right. You have some freed up money. What can Penny Hardaway and this staff do with that? They got a commit from Zach Davis, who portaled from South Carolina, big wing, 6'7". We'll get to more on him in a second. But if I'm trying to spin this to make it somewhat positive, now they have freed up money. What can they do with that? There's still a lot of talent out in the portal. There's still some time to take advantage. Can Penny Hardaway turn this thing around in a quickness? He's been able to do it in the past, building good rosters. But at the same time, I think one thing we're going to have to get used to is, you know, while we've talked about Memphis, whether it be basketball or football, mostly football being a stepping stone job, stepping stone program for coaches to come in, you know, have a lot of success and then go to the next spot. With Justin Fuente, with Mike Norvell, we saw that on the football side. John Calipari, of course, with basketball. I think we're going to have to start thinking about it in terms of players now as well. That's the truth. It's really hard for a player to deny the amount of money that P.J. Haggerty is going to bring in going to another school. So if you have a good year at Memphis, the ability to retain somebody that's a second-team consensus All-American – that averaged 21 points per game, that has some runway, 2 years more of eligibility. I'm not saying it's impossible. It's just going to be increasingly difficult in the years and months to come.
Absolutely. It's a different playing field than it was a few years ago. It feels like every single year it changes a little bit. And unfortunately, it's changing in the wrong direction for a school like the University of Memphis. And that is, again, why you have to get out of this conference. You've got to be able to make more money. You've got to be able to be in a better conference with more resources. That is the only way forward for the University of Memphis, and that is why the football conversation comes up, because it's just, I understand that basketball is beloved here. I love this basketball team. Love it. We both went to the University of Memphis. We love basketball. But I think it would be silly to recognize, or to not recognize, that this is a money issue. Loyalty can only get you so far in college sports now. Pageantry only gets you so far in college sports now. It's going to come down to how much money these players can make at your school. And a player like PJ Haggerty, who's an All-American, one of the best players in the country, probably understands his market.
Yeah.
And says, okay, I can make this amount of money at Memphis. What does that mean I could make at a Kansas or a Texas or, you know, name a school? It's going to be more money. And that's why it's not about Penny. It's not really about the coaching staff. It's not about loyalty. It's about money. That is what this decision came down to. And that's why it's difficult for me to necessarily blame PJ Haggerty. Yeah, I wish he was a little bit more loyal, sure. But that would be naive of me to say, well, loyalty, loyalty. It's like, well, he's looking at me and saying, okay, does your loyalty pay me an extra $1 million, which is probably going to be the difference?
I mean, listen, loyalty is a lost art form in today's society. I can fully recognize that. But I think when we're talking about the amount of money that these guys are garnering, loyalty goes completely out the window, and I can't blame any of them for making life-changing money and making decisions for them and their family. It's not hard to understand why these decisions are being made. As a fan, sure, you want to see someone love that Memphis name across their chest. You want to see someone take pride in being a part of the city of Memphis. But in the end of the day, the city of Memphis doesn't provide the amount of money that other schools are going to provide. I will say this. I really want to see some donors step up, somebody step up, because if basketball is going to, continue down this path, they're going to need further donations and further investment. I don't know where that comes from. I don't know what that looks like. But I think Penny Hardaway understands that it's not going to get any easier going forward unless he finds somebody that's just going to be the shadow donor for him. That's going to cough up $1 million extra when he needs it for a guy like PJ Haggerty. It's just it's a terrible spot to be in, and it won't get better until they get out of the American Athletic Conference.
Yeah, it's a tough day. It's certainly a tough day if you're a Memphis Tigers basketball fan, because that's the reality of your situation, is that you just cannot compete with some of these bigger schools. Some of these bigger schools that you feel like you should be able to compete with, you just can't. And it's because they have more money than you. And it's as simple as that. That's the difference. And that is where, you know, you and I have over the last few years had conversations about the uncomfortability of that in college athletics, where you're going to have some haves and have-nots. I'm not necessarily saying Memphis
is a have-not.
It's always
been that way, but it's growing.
But it's above board, and the money is even bigger. You know, it's now the silver lining of this is a lot of money just opened up for the University of Memphis and their basketball team, because you're not going to have to pay it to PJ Haggerty anymore.
Yeah.
You're not going to be paying him millions of dollars. So how can you fill out this roster now? How can you move forward with the roster next season? We know that Penny and his coaching staff have been in tough situations before, and they've been able to find these players. There's still a ton of very talented basketball players in the transfer portal. So who do you use that money on now? That is what you have to think about moving forward. Can you keep a player like Dane Danger, who, by the way, we still don't know if he has eligibility?
But also, it says he's in the portal by most accounts, but he also just tweeted
he just tweeted out
going
that
anywhere,
he is,
but he's got to get another year of eligibility anyway. I was joking about it off air before the show. Do you think he's trying to transfer somewhere else so he actually gets the portal grant or the waiver granted? Like no one gets it granted at the University of Memphis?
The thing is, that's a bit of a joke, but it there's some truth to that. Is that the Memphis and the NCAA do not like each other, and the waivers have not ever worked out for the University of Memphis with the NCAA. So is Dane Danger looking at it and saying, if I want another year of eligibility, if I go somewhere else and they put in that waiver, if it's Kansas that puts in that waiver for me, or just throw a team out there, do they have a better shot? Maybe. I don't know.
I think the thing that sucks the most, though, if I'm wrapping this whole thing up, is when you are faced with problems, you try to find solutions. You try to. There's no easy solution to this.
It's money.
There's no easy solution. And to get more money, you have to get to a better conference. We don't know when the opportunity is going to present itself, though, and how you get that opportunity to present itself. We've talked about for years getting football going, generating more revenue, being in the positive when it comes to football. They've done that for the most part. They're not in the positive when it comes to football because the TV revenue is not rolling in. But they've gotten to a point where that football program is viable, and still you have not gotten the bites that you want. So you look for solutions, but solutions are not there at the time being.
I'm going to be really curious to see what that number ends up being for PJ Haggerty, because it's going to tell you what Memphis's, what their line was.
I'm going to be honest. When I saw JT Toppin go back to Texas, figured that, you know, I'm not saying that I didn't think PJ was I always thought he could leave. I was a little more on the positive side because it was late in the portal that he hopped in. Late in the portal window. There's 5 days left. And most of the guys that are going to take in that type of money get in almost immediately, then make their decision pretty quickly because they already have those offers there. So I was leaning more to the positive side that he was going to stay on campus. But, you know, when you look back at the amount of money a guy like JT Toppin got, when you look back, you know, at just the influx of money we've seen thrown at these guys the past 2-3 years, maybe I was being a little bit naive in the grand scheme of things. I figured $2 million, $2.5 million, and some love and some continuity and staying in the program could help a guy like PJ make his decision to stay at the University of Memphis. But now I see very naive way of thinking when you look at just the bags being thrown around the country. Now, let's get to a little bit of positive news, I guess. Zachary Davis from South Carolina took an official visit to the University of Memphis, and he decided to commit to the University of Memphis. Zachary is a big wing, jumbo wing, 6'7", definitely has some juice. From the offensive perspective, a little bit out there to be desired, 37% from the field. But he averaged 8.2 points per game, 4.6 rebounds per game, 27% from threes, ugly. But he's a jumbo wing, plays good defense on the perimeter, and definitely is a helper, a potential starter for this team going into next year.
Yeah, I think that one very clear trend of the transfer portal this season for Memphis is, yeah, he's not the offense that you necessarily want, but his defense is something that you want. And it does seem like that Penny, once again, is going defense first with a lot of these players. He's trying to bring in guys that match his system, and they can hopefully turn defense into offense. And you're kind of just having to have hope that they have a better season offensively. He had a few games where he really popped off on the offensive end, but I think that
you're
bringing this type of guy in, I think, because you're saying this guy could be a defensive stopper for us on that side of the ball, which we know in Penny Hardaway's system is a huge deal.
And I think there is the potential for him to, in a more, with a highlighted role maybe on the offensive end, with a little bit more runway, a little bit more leeway, I think he could shoot better percentages.
Sure.
I mean, we saw P.J. Haggerty. He was a 29% three-point shooter.
I mean,
got to
most
Memphis,
of the players last
business,
year had their best season.
Around 38, 39, 40% just about the entire year. So I guess there is the thought that he could get better at the three-point line, although that's yet to be seen. But I think this is a good pickup. Obviously, with the backdrop of P.J. Haggerty, Dane Danger, your top two options likely no longer being on this team next year, it doesn't really excite you the way that it should. But at the same time, it's a solid pickup and a needed pickup for Penny Hardaway. And I also think the positive you bring in with a guy like Zachary Davis is I thought last year, even though I loved Colby Rogers and I thought he was very good, he could create his own shot for the most part, he knocked down open threes, he swung a couple of games, I always thought they needed a little bit more size out there. Colby Rogers was 6'3", 6'4", trying to guard threes on other teams. And I feel like a guy like Zachary Davis, with the size, the athleticism he'll bring, the optionality he can bring on the defensive end, probably guarding 2 through 4, I think that is an added dimension that Colby Rogers last year couldn't give you. Obviously, you're losing some shooting, but you're gaining the ability to tinker with lineups, make some things happen there.
Absolutely. I think you're bringing this guy in to be your defensive stopper. That is when I saw the commitment from Zachary Davis, and I looked at the numbers, and I looked at what everybody was saying. I said, okay, this is the guy that can be a tone setter for you on the defensive end. And you hope that the flashes that he showed offensively come to fruition a little bit more next season when he gets more opportunity.
Yep. Now, let's go ahead and grab a break off the top. We need to talk. We need to talk with Parth Upadhyay. Parth Upadhyay is scheduled to join next. He's, of course, the Memphis Tigers beat reporter. We'll ask him what it came down to. Why is P.J. Haggerty in the portal? I think we have a good idea, but we need to hear it from the guy who is closest to all of the action. Parth, next. So it looks like we're going to have to reschedule Parth. There's been some issues. I understand that they're busy over at the Daily Memphian, but it seems like there's been some issues with posting things and getting things going. I'm a little perturbed, but hey, it is what it is. We'll get Parth later on in the week to talk about these things. One thing I neglected to mention in the first segment that I think is very, very important in the grand scheme of things, when we talk about the continuity at the University of Memphis, with P.J. Haggerty, Dane Danger likely no longer being on this team heading into next year, one thing that's become increasingly clear about the product itself is that the fans lose in this whole thing, don't they, Connor? The fans lose pretty drastically. How it used to be is you'd have guys on campus 3 to 4 years. You'd have guys stay around. You could sell the program a whole lot better. You had the hometown heroes, the faces of a program. At places like Memphis, that's no longer the case anymore, is it? You're finally in a spot, you're in this spot where you have to find new faces every year. You don't know who you're actually going to be able to sell. You don't know who actually is going to suit up, who actually is going to be number one in the pecking order. Now, I understand that Penny Hardaway has a chance to go take advantage of a lot of different guys in the portal. They'll be able to handle some business, find some guys. They're tied to Sincere Parker, who averaged 14 points per game at McNeese State. They're tied to Doug McDaniel, who they tried to get out of the portal last offseason. A point guard from Kansas State previously scored 16 points per game at Michigan. They're tied to a lot of good players, but those players – the fans don't have a tie to them yet. You have to build that understanding. You have to build that trust. You have to build the fandom. And at a place like the University of Memphis, I think that's as big a problem as any other problem we're talking about right now.
Yeah, it's very difficult when you don't have year-to-year connection to some of these players. Every single year it comes in, and it's just a new roster. You don't know who's going to be on your team. Like, when you look at the Memphis Tigers basketball team from last year, there's basically not going to be any of them left on the roster next season. Like, you're going to have some recognition with a guy like Dante Harris, but most of those guys are gone, and that is why you and I were really, really hoping that you were going to be able to bring a guy back like P.J. Haggerty, who was going to be a pillar of your program moving forward. Now, something interesting is happening right now on social media. So Dane Danger sent out that tweet that said, "I'm not going anywhere yet. No decision has been made." P.J. Haggerty retweeted that. I don't know if that's him just showing support for Dane Danger or what that necessarily means, but it's just that is why the transfer portal is just very confusing, especially if you are a fan rooting for a team, because on one hand, it's asking a lot of fans.
Yes.
Because you're having to balance the love that you have for your school and your fanaticism, your fandom, with understanding that these kids have to make as much money as they possibly can. But you also have to wrestle with, well, my school doesn't have these resources just because of the conference that they're in, but it's not necessarily their fault that they're in the... Like, there is so much nuance that a fan has to have in today's day and age that they used to just not have to deal with. And that is why I understand the frustration across the country from multiple fan bases about the transfer portal, about being outbid for guys that you've shown loyalty to. And, you know, we say that loyalty doesn't matter anymore, and that is the truth.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Today's podcast is sponsored by Midi Health. At any given time, 61% of adult women say they want to lose weight. But for many, that's easier said than done. If you've had trouble losing weight, don't lose hope. Midi Health uses a deep understanding of women's hormones and a combination of weight loss medications to create a customized plan for each user. Midi Health can help you achieve more effective and sustainable weight loss by addressing hormone imbalances. Midi can also prescribe proven weight loss medications that help you experience reduced appetite and increased feelings of fullness. When paired with hormone optimization, you're not just managing your weight, you're also supporting your body's natural processes, which means you can overcome those weight loss plateaus that in the past have been so difficult to move beyond. So if you're ready to combine the power of hormones with the power of weight loss medications, visit joinmidi.com today. Discover how this innovative approach can lead you to lasting success. That's joinmidi.com.
Can't get enough baseball? Start streaming MLB Network today. Get up to 15 out-of-market games a week live on any device, plus 24/7 access to MLB Network. Network's award-winning shows, including live game look-ins and exclusive player interviews. And hear live radio play-by-play from all 30 clubs with MLB at Bat. Enjoy the home of baseball from virtually anywhere. Plans start as low as $5.99 per month. Sign up now at MLBnetwork.com/stream. Available in the U.S. only. Blackout restriction applies. Visit MLB.com/subscribe for full terms and conditions.
Hi, everybody. It's Brian Green from the Commercial Break Podcast. It's likely you've heard of the show if you're directly related to me or you follow our MySpace page. But I'm not here to talk to those three listeners. I'm here to appeal to people who haven't heard the show. Along with my co-host, Kristen Joy Hoadley, we're taking a deeper look at the topics that are affecting our youth today. Like, who are the people who are dating ghosts? Where did all these pickup artists come from? And why doesn't my preacher have a nicer private jet? We understand that these are the issues you really want to get to the bottom of. The Commercial Break is now available on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
Truth of the matter, but that doesn't mean that that doesn't kind of suck. Like, it's loyalty doesn't matter anymore, and
sure,
the history of your program doesn't necessarily matter anymore. And having a coach like Penny Hardaway can get a kid here for 1 year, but then it's out of
but
his control whether
when
or
the money
not he stays.
When the money comes, Penny
right.
being the head coach doesn't matter.
And again, that is not a slight toward Penny Hardaway at all. It's not his fault that he doesn't have the money to be able to keep somebody like PJ Haggerty here. It is so frustrating as a fan when you are at a school like the University of Memphis that is clawing and scratching and trying to better their situation, and they're doing everything right on the surface and everything right from everything it looks. But at the end of the day, sorry, don't have enough money, peace. And it's like, and you can't be mad. You can't be pissed off about it necessarily toward that guy because you're like, yeah, I would take the more money too.
Yeah.
You can't be mad at somebody going to try to improve their life. But what you can be mad about is just the circumstance of college athletics in today's day and age.
Yes, and it hurts the product. It really does.
Yeah,
it
does.
It turns people off. And I also think, as much as I don't want to admit this, and I think that having this take to a certain extent is a little bit backwards, but, you know, I don't think fans generally like hearing about the amount of money that guys are getting. Fans are struggling to go buy tickets to these games. Fans are working their ass off 7 days a week so they can afford a ticket so they can get into FedEx Forum to go watch this team. But what product are they watching? Do they even know these guys? Do these guys have any tie to the city of Memphis? Do they have any tie to the fan base? It just becomes a problem there. Now, another problem that I cannot understand. Dane Danger getting in the portal is very confusing to me because we don't even know if he's getting an extra year of eligibility. He's going to have to get a waiver anyway. I mean, what's going on with that? I mean, Chad Baker Mazzara, by the way, at 25 years old, got in the portal today. I think we're just in this day and age of college athletics where we're so unstructured. It's all backwards, out of sorts. I don't know what's going on. Is Dane Danger going to be able to play another year? I know he said he's not leaving, but is he going to play another year? Like, how are these guys that don't even know if, like, right now, the way it stands, Dane Danger does not have another year of eligibility, Connor. That's how it stands right now. That's it. He has exhausted all his eligibility as we stand here today at 4:40 on April 17th. How can that guy get into the portal? How can that guy put his name with all these other transfers? I don't understand that. I need someone to explain that to me like I'm 5 years old. And obviously COVID and all the JUCO rules and all these different court cases are caught up, and that leads to guys thinking they should get another year of eligibility when they originally weren't supposed to have it. But how can a guy who does not have eligibility be in the transfer portal right now?
Well, and my question is, let's say Dane goes somewhere or comes back to Memphis pre-waiver. What's the money situation there? Is there a deal done? Is it dependent on the waiver? What happens? It's so confusing when you're seeing guys, because it's not just Dane Danger. He's not the only one that doesn't have eligibility that entered the transfer portal. And Jeff Goodman put it out there. He's like, it's an absolute mess when you have guys that don't have any eligibility entering the transfer portal. Because what happens if you are a school like Memphis, or you are a school that would want to go after Dane Danger, and you have to
set aside the rest of your transfers.
You have to set aside money and say, okay,
Hopefully
we can spend this on him. But if that waiver gets denied and you already allocated that money toward him, which means you missed out on these other players, you're kind of screwed. That is why this is the wild, wild west. There have got to be regulations on this thing. The schools are not protected. These players aren't protected from themselves. Just go look at the Nico situation right
yes.
now. Yes. That's chaos for him.
Yes. And you know what's also chaos? Go ahead and call Parth Upadhyaya.
Are you serious?
Go ahead and call Parth.
Can I cuss him out? We'll do it live. No, don't curse him out.
It wasn't Parth's fault. It was somebody else doing it. But go ahead and give Parth a call. We're going to get him on momentarily. But Connor is 100% correct. We're in a spot in college athletics where, you know, down is up and up is down. You have no idea who's eligible, who's not, who's going to get an extra year. How old are these guys at this point? 25, 26 years old, still playing college basketball. I did get a kick out of the Chad Baker-Mazzara thing because I remember a couple of years ago when the Tigers were trying to get DeAndre Williams, how that was viewed. Chad Baker-Mazzara gets an extra year of eligibility, has another year of eligibility. He's 25 years old. Memphis caught a lot of hell. A lot of hell for trying to bring DeAndre Williams back at 27 years of age. But do we have Parth on the phone, Connor? I believe we have Parth ready to go. Let's see here. Parth, do we have you, brother? How are you?
You got me. I'm doing all right, man. How are you doing?
I am doing well. I am doing well. Thank you. For joining the show. I know it was a little late, a little chaotic here in the second segment, but everything's chaotic right now when it comes to Memphis basketball. PJ Haggerty's into the portal. I'm going to ask this, and I honestly know the answer, but I'm going to ask this anyway. What did it come down to? Why is PJ Haggerty in the portal?
Yeah, so from folks I spoke to, it sounds like there was a pretty high level of optimism, you know, just a month ago, right? Like not long ago at all, 3 weeks to a month ago, folks were optimistic that they could get a package together that would be enticing enough for PJ to commit to Memphis and not enter the portal, right? Like not even explore the option of playing college basketball elsewhere. But in the past week to 10 days, things kind of shifted to where, you know, it's unclear if somebody else swooped in or what happened on, you know, Haggerty and his camp's end. But, you know, I'm told that kind of conversations got shorter, phone calls, you know, weren't immediately returned when it comes to,
right.
Boosters and other prominent folks, you know, that have either the power to write those checks or to get someone to write those checks, those phone calls were not returned, at least not in a timely fashion, right? Like from Haggerty and his camp. So what shifted or what transpired there, I guess we're going to find out soon, but something certainly did that took this thing in a completely different direction than it was, I don't know, maybe even as recently as early April, you know?
Yeah, and some clarity here. He went in with a do not contact tag. Obviously, that could mean a couple of different things, but mostly, and correct me if I'm wrong, that means he's probably got ironed out where he's going to end up landing, just not announcing it yet. That's usually what that means, at least. It could mean something else.
Yeah, historically, that's what it's meant, obviously. Like, the past few offseasons, we've seen that, but someone pointed this out. It was one of the national guys. I can't remember who it was, but earlier this offseason, when we started seeing – you know, some of the biggest names, right, enter the portal right away. As soon as it opened with the do not contact tag, folks pointed out that that tag means, hey, don't contact me, but you can go through my agent. Does that kind of make sense?
Yeah.
So there's all kinds of, like, layers and different meanings to what that could – what the intention of that could be. But, I mean, you're very right, right? You're absolutely correct. Like, a do not contact tag could also mean, like, hey, whether it's via back channels or – you know, let's face it, tampering, a destination's already in mind.
Yeah. Now, what does this mean for the University of Memphis in the grand scheme of things when it comes to the amount of money they need to bring in to keep a competitive roster? Obviously, they're the best in the AAC, but that seems to be it at this moment. What does this mean for them going forward? How can they sort of bridge the gap between themselves and the powers that be that bring in a guy like PJ Haggerty for way more money than they can offer?
Yeah, it's tough. And I think, I mean, you kind of touched on this or at least alluded to it, but it's tough because, you know, now we're, you know, here at April 17th. And, you know, if you're Memphis, you've been sitting there kind of earmarking that money, right? Like a massive amount of money. You know, you've heard the same numbers I've heard, right? Like
right.
In terms of folks you've talked to for PJ Haggerty and for Dane Danger. And we haven't even gotten to Dane yet.
Right.
But like, if those two guys are out the door, yeah, you've got those resources back, but, you know, who is out there that you want to spend that boatload of cash on? Is it going to be somebody that, you know, withdraws from the NBA draft process, right? Like, is it going to be one of those names? Is it going to be somebody who's entered that transfer portal pool in the past week? I don't know, but, you know, your Donovan Dents, your kind of pendulum swinging players are mostly off the board across the country.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. Now, Penny is in contact with a few recruits. You got, of course, the commit from Zachary Davis. I mean, what is this going to look like, in your opinion, based on the talent that's in the portal? Is this going to be multiple guys getting the money that was set aside for PJ Hagerty, or do you think that there is a chance that there is one guy that they can earmark that money for?
Yeah, it's hard to say. You would think that they'd target at least one guy to be the centerpiece, you know, of this thing,
sure.
Right? Because, you know, just the way this roster is built right now, obviously it was built with the idea that PJ Hagerty would be in the fold, because Memphis did have confidence. You know, people that were trying to get that thing together did have confidence that they'd get Hagerty back in a Tigers jersey. So now you've got a bunch of guys who play roles, but really no one that is kind of the alpha, right? Is that the 1A option, or even the 1B, you know, if you're removing Dane from the equation. So you would think they'd go out and try to get somebody that could be that centerpiece. You know, nowadays things are so fluid, man. Like, even guys who have committed to schools, if they haven't signed anything, like, you know, I could see a situation where, and I'm not saying this will happen for sure, but I could see a situation where a player who hasn't kind of put pen to paper somewhere else could be back available with these, I don't want to call them newly found resources, but newly opened, newly freed up resources that Memphis now has.
Now, I may be delivering news to you, but I don't know if you've seen the statement from Memphis on PJ
yep.
Hagerty. It just gets more and more confusing. He's going to test the NBA draft process and enter his name in the NCAA transfer portal. But the final sort of sentence here I don't want to just convolute this conversation ridiculously, but this is from the University of Memphis. It says, the final sentence in the statement, PJ has told us that he has enjoyed his experience and Memphis is still on the table once he understands where he is in the draft process.
Wow.
What do you make of that? I mean, I can't imagine you get into the portal if you're PJ Hagerty and decide to come back to the University of Memphis if you have that do not contact tag, right? Like, I mean, the way you understood it when you got the news, did it seem like Memphis was off the table completely?
That's the way I understood it. And it's fascinating because I'm looking at the statement right now. My phone actually buzzed, you know, when you guys called, but just from, I guess, the conversations I'd had today and, you know, leading up to the announcement, or not the announcement, but the news coming out, right, of this decision, it was framed to me as, hey, never say never, but it's highly unlikely, right? Like, that once this guy enters the portal, he'd be back. Now, I'm not sure if, you know, Memphis's statement means something's changed on that front, or if it's just like them, you know, leaving that option open, because, you know, when you enter the portal, if, you know, whether you're PJ Hagerty or anybody else, like, you can always go back, you know, to
right.
where you came from.
Right.
As long as obviously that team has a spot for you and money available and bridges aren't burnt and that kind of thing. So I think in a way that is good news, right? That's Memphis saying, like, hey, like, that door is not closed. And PJ is obviously saying that as well.
Dane Danger, holler at me about him. How can he get in the portal with no actual eligibility right now? I was talking about that before we even got you on. How does that make any sense?
Yeah, so, you know, Dane obviously is in the process of submitting a waiver to NCAA to get a year back. You know, he feels that that first year at Baylor where he redshirted, where everybody was given kind of that blanket waiver, that was that 2020-2021 season that was impacted by COVID-19, right? He didn't play because he was ineligible. So mm-hmm. the NCAA is saying, well, you know, that blanket waiver was for eligible players. So I think that is the crux of the dispute, if you will, the case that Dane Danger has. But even with Dane not knowing whether the NCAA will approve that waiver or not, you know, if he doesn't enter the portal by the deadline, which is April 22nd, next Tuesday, then it doesn't matter, right? Does that make sense? Like, it doesn't matter if he gets that year back. If he's not in the portal, then he's not in the portal. Then his only choice to play college basketball would have been at Memphis. So if you're a Tigers fan, you would have liked him not to enter the portal, right? Because that gives you at least eliminates the option of a different college, right? It leaves you with, okay, either the NCAA is going to approve this waiver and he'll be back in a Tigers jersey, or the NCAA is not going to approve the waiver and he's going to go find you know, you're going to launch a pro career, whether it be in the NBA or elsewhere. But now with him being in the portal, Once again, doesn't mean definitively that he's gone, but it certainly opens up the door for him to look at the landscape, look at all that's out there in terms of best fit, most money, you know, whatever he prioritizes, whatever he values.
Where do you stand, and what have you heard about the conversation ongoing about the money that this basketball program is bringing in regards to sort of where they're at with football? They're giving more money to football. Some people feel like they're neglecting basketball. Like, what have you heard in regards to that conversation happening behind the scenes?
Yeah, it seems like folks who are associated with basketball, right, in terms of whether it be generating funds for basketball or have an investment in basketball to their own pocketbooks, seem to have that idea that because of conference realignment, because of what football means, not just, I mean, not at Memphis, obviously. Memphis is a basketball first school. Not that football is not important, but
right. It's
what football means in terms of across the landscape of college athletics, what it can do for you, you know, to get into a power conference. It seems like the people who are, you know, vested in basketball more so, who lean that direction, feel that the school is maybe over-prioritizing football and not doing enough to make sure the basketball funds are there. And the folks on the other side of that equation don't see it that way. And they see that they're doing what's best for the university's future. Right. So it's kind of tough to determine, you know, who's in the right, who's in the wrong, if anybody's in the right or wrong. It may not be a situation where somebody's right or wrong. But it certainly doesn't help to know that not everybody sees things the same way. Does that make sense? Not everybody.
Yeah, for sure. And it feels like the people that stand on the side of you're taking too much, robbing Peter to pay Paul when it comes to taking basketball funds, putting them toward football, giving them more resources. I tend to feel this, and this is my opinion, so I'm not going to like force this on you, but sure. I tend to feel this way. There's a little bit of a defeatist attitude about it. And I say that because it feels like the thought process is, well, you've funded football. You've gotten football to where it needs to go, and you still have not gotten that invite to a Power Four conference. You still have not been able to go get into one of those conferences, get more TV revenue. When's that actually going to happen? Why do you have to continue down that path when it hasn't led you to the results that you've wanted? That's sort of the attitude I get from the people that
sure.
feel like you're taking away from basketball to give to football.
For sure. It's like, you know, we've seen kind of, even in recent history, right? Like schools just completely, I mean, obviously UConn brought its football program back,
sure.
so that's a different story. But, you know, at times we've seen schools fully dive in headfirst into basketball. I mean, it's not common, but we've seen it, and we've seen it be successful for schools that do have that history and that pedigree there. And if you're Memphis, you're thinking, you know, how many times do we have to have that, you know, that, what is it, Charlie Brown and Lucy football analogy, right? Like how many times right. we got that, have that football yanked away from us before we stop playing this game, right? And like, and start investing into, you know, what folks care about the most here, which is definitely, you know, certainly hoops, right?
Mm-hmm.
Historically. But that's also a tough thing because, you know, if you're on the side of still having full optimism that Memphis can get into a power conference when this next shift of realignment happens, you know, how can you not, you know, pour into football, right? How can you not kind of go down that avenue?
Here's the fair take, though. If you don't get into a power conference, basketball's still going to suffer for the most part. In a general sense, unless you went basketball only, did the Big East and independent in football, which is not a real possibility going forward. Unless you get into a power conference, basketball still is going to suffer when it comes to monetary investment, getting donors to give big bucks, generating TV revenue. So it's like, I don't know. The problem I see mostly, though, for the University of Memphis in the grand scheme of things is, when you have problems, you look for solutions. There's no easy solution to the problem they're seeing right now. And that goes for not just Memphis, but for any school in the territory they're in.
No, for sure. No easy solution and no certainty, right, about what that next wave will look like, what will be prioritized, because things are constantly changing. You know, goalposts are constantly moving. So, like, what will be valuable, what will be important to leagues in 5 years may be completely different than what the template is now. If you know what I'm saying.
Yeah, for sure. Well, Parth, I'll let you roll. I know it was an adventure to get you on, but I'm glad you carved out a little bit of time.
No worries, man. Appreciate y'all. Thank you.
Yes, sir. He is Parth Upadhyay, Memphis Tigers basketball beat writer for the Daily Memphian on X at P. Upadhyay underscore. That was an adventure, Connor. That was an adventure. A little chaotic, but today is chaotic. So I think it kind of fits.
I have no idea how to feel about that statement from the University of Memphis.
Yeah, I'm just going to operate with the assumption that PJ Haggerty doesn't get into the portal unless he's thinking about going somewhere else for big money. Right? Like, is there any other way to feel about that? For them to say the door is still open, I think that's just sort of a little bit of...
Is that the way of saying if Memphis decides to pay the price, maybe he'll come back?
Why would Memphis, the University of Memphis, put that out on their behalf unless they knew they were going to pay?
Or maybe that is, maybe PJ will come down to our price. I don't know.
Okay, I'm going to read this statement, and I don't know if I can react more than I have reacted to it. I think I feel like Connor. I don't know what to make of it. But this is a statement from Memphis on PJ Haggerty. PJ has notified the athletic department that he wishes to test the NBA draft process and enter his name into the NCAA transfer portal. We are grateful for everything PJ has done for the department and the University of Memphis, which makes it seem like, okay, he's done at the University of Memphis. Then they follow that up with, we respect his wishes to explore all options. PJ has told us that he has enjoyed his experience, and Memphis is still on the table once he understands where he is in the draft process. I mean, just... whatever you make of that, it's in the eye of the beholder, I guess. Just whoever reads that can have a different interpretation.
I don't know what to make of it, because I don't know if that's supposed to give me hope. Is it going to give me false hope? Probably. Does it mean that he is thinking about two schools,
and also,
one being
Memphis
this, and then the draft?
I'll ask this, though. Why would Memphis put that out and give false hope to fans? Why would you do that? To see
if a donor comes stepping
maybe,
up?
Maybe to see if you have an angel investor last second.
I think that's a good theory.
That's probably it, but... Opening that door, giving fans potentially false hope, though, is a...
Well, because...
That's a slippery slope. That's not
honest.
Something you want to do.
Because let's be honest about PJ Haggerty in the draft. No. He wouldn't be drafted at least in the first round.
He'd be like maybe late second.
Late second. I don't think he's ready for the NBA. So when he says
I think
that
he could
he's
get
in
a
the transfer
contract
portal,
this
sure,
year.
But like,
but that's not the
you would make more money in college.
Yeah.
So why would you not come back to college? So is he going into the transfer portal with a no contact? Does that mean it's Memphis, another school, or the draft?
They've certainly, you know what we're doing? We're speculating.
We are.
And they have left the door open for speculation. So I will continue to speculate, I guess, and we'll bring on Jeff Calkins to do the same next.